Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim la'amruka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahun sadaqallahul azim. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon his most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties he has bestowed upon us, which we are enjoying on a continuous basis, and we ask Allah ta'ala to enable us to be aware of them and consciously appreciate and acknowledge them and enable us to use them in a manner that will please Allah ta'ala, in a manner that Allah loves, and in a manner that it will enable us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah ta'ala not to take away and deny us, snatch away all these blessings because of our own ungratefulness, nashukri, our own non-appreciation, and us taking these blessings for granted. So we make dua that Allah ta'ala at all times keep us aware and enable us on this great ibadat of making shukr. Respected friends and brothers, alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Rabiul Awwal, as we know, and the month of Rabiul Awwal, whenever we speak about it, then a few very important events come to mind, foremost of which, obviously, is the birth of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, alhamdulillah, we find lots of programs and functions taking place with the intention of reviving the message of the mission of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never mind what it is called, the purpose behind each one of them is for us to once more revive the lesson. Not remind, we can't be reminded about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because nobody has forgotten him, ya mashallah. We remember him from the morning we get up, we hear the adhan, we hear ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, in the tahiyyat we say ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Allahumma salli, Allahumma barik. So we are reminded, but yes, we are reminded and we are reviving our lessons of why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came here. Also in Rabiul Awwal, there were other important events that took place. Another one great event that took place is the demise of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in one date of Rabiul Awwal, he was born, and on another date he passed away. And from the date of his birth till the date of his demise, my respected friends and brothers, is a period of life, which is the most precious period of life of any person who walked on the face of this earth. That is the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other Anbiya alayhi wasalam also came. Their lives also were precious. They came and in a certain area, they gave the da'wah and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they went away. And in this way, they, you know, were restricted, as we'll say, to certain people, to certain areas. But when it comes to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his life is so precious that no one on the face of this earth, no Nabi also for that matter, can be equated in as far as preciousness of life is concerned. It is so precious that Allah Ta'ala has taken a qasam on the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, in the 14th para. Allah says, La'amruka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahun. Allah says, by your life, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people were lost in a stupor of their desires. They were lost. So Allah is talking about some other incident of the people of Lut alayhi salam. But here, when Allah is addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes an oath and a qasam on the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that shows us how great his life is and how precious it is. And why should it not be so? Because his entire period of life, especially the last 23 years, were such that they were meant to serve as a guidance and a guideline to all of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. In every situation, whichever they might come across, whatever problems, whatever solution they are looking for, all are found in this period of life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till the day of Qiyamah. So we can imagine how valuable and how precious that life is. So So that is one thing, my respected friends and brothers. And as far as the birth and the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is concerned. And he did not just come here and spend time and go away. You find people who come in this world, they come, they spend their life and they go. There are other people who are probably not Anbiya, but they came and they spent their life and they did something remarkable. And they have left behind a legacy. So that is about it. And it is remembered or it is forgotten. Sometimes it's only remembered on one day. And then after it's forgotten. And that is about it. Not with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is not remembered only on one day. He's not remembered only in one month. He is remembered his entire life, the whole year. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is, you know, called out every minute of the day somewhere in the world. And somebody gave a beautiful example of from the time when the first azan takes place somewhere in the Fiji Islands, which we can say is the first Fajr of the morning, where the Kiribati Islands are. From that time when the azan takes place, continuously the azan, as the time zone is shifting, is taking place, and the azan is calling out the name of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is remembered all the time, every minute, every moment, mashallah. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, that wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. We have raised for you your renown. We have elevated your name. So my respected friends and brothers, what did he come with? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very broadly speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah has favored the believers. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Allah has favored the believers on this, that he sent a prophet to them from among them. That means from among their human race, Allah sent a human prophet to them. And what did he do? رَسُولًا مِّنُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recited the verses of Allah Ta'ala. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not recite the verses of the Qur'an, you and I would not have known what the Qur'an is. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he purified them from all the spiritual sicknesses and illnesses and harms of the heart which a person carries with him all the time too. And وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ. Then he explained the book. One is he recited the Qur'an. That is, recitation of Qur'an is an ibadat on its own. Whether we understand it or not is not an issue. Just making tilawat is a thawab on its own. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it. He taught the book, what it means. Wal-hikmah. And he taught hikmah, wisdom, which has been translated in different ways. And it could mean the sunnah or whatever tafsir of the Qur'an it might be. So that is what Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. So when we're looking at our lives and we want to relate it to his life, then we must see how much of his life we have taken and put into our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. That verily a prophet has come to you, a messenger has come to you from amongst yourself. مِّنْ أَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. That whenever any difficulty and hardship befalls you, it is very hard on him. That is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to feel the hurt and the pain of anybody else, not to be, you know, oblivious of it, or to be dismissive of it. That is their problem, not our problem. No, everybody's problem, everybody's pain was the pain of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Harisun alaykum. And he was most desirous over you. This word haris means, actually literally translated means greed. But yet it will not mean greed. It means a great desire for you, great desire for your goodness, great desire for your salvation in the akhirah. That is why the whole mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to try and shift mankind away and turn their attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bil mu'mineen ar-ra'ufur rahim. And he was most kind towards the believers and he was most merciful towards the believers. So these are just four things I've mentioned in this verse and the first four. And there are lots of things, millions of things which we can talk about in as far as the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we want to talk about its preciousness, and when we want to talk about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually took an oath on such a precious life. But for us to keep in mind at all times that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every day, for all time, for every human being, and for every situation. Then, my respected friends and brothers, in the month of Rabiul Awal, we spoke about the demise, we might have time, we'll come on it. If not, the other very important event that took place was the hijrah, the migration of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Now, that wasn't an ordinary event. The Hijrah was a great event because that was now the opening of the doors of Islam, the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for mankind till the day of Qiyamah. That now Islam is going to be free, it is going to be liberated, there is going to be no longer any restrictions and persecutions upon the people who are following Islam. So the Hijrah was that event which took place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his house for the Hijrah on the 27th of Safar. 3 days he stayed in the cave. We know he was in hiding because the enemy had put out an alert to catch him, to capture him. So that was 3 days. On the 1st of Rabiul Awal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the cave, left Makkah Mukarramah, and we can see officially he was now on the journey of Hijrah, which has got thousands of lessons for us, my respected friends and brothers. And in a crux and in a nutshell, because of lack of time, Hijrah is this, that a person is at all times conscious about safeguarding his deen and the practices of his deen. Islam had become persecuted. Muslims were oppressed because they were Muslims and they could no longer practice on their deen. So the only way for them to move out from there, to protect their deen, was to make hijrah. And whether we are making hijrah or not, hijrah means to leave one place and go to another place for the protection of the deen, not for any other reason, because the business is very good there, or the school is very good there, or there is no crime in that area. That is not making hijrah. Hijrah is specifically with this intention. Wherever we might be, if our deen at any time is endangered, the deen of our children is endangered as it is in this day and age with the onslaught of so much of, you know, information on the cyber network and on the social media, that our children are questioning their deen, and this is actually leading them into the floods of apostasy. Allah Ta'ala protect us, my respected friends and brothers. Let us not be asleep. Let us be awake and know what is happening. So, if any of these things are happening, then it becomes faraz upon us to ensure the protection of our deen and the protection of the practices of our deen. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah Mukarramah on the 1st. He left the cave and he went towards Medina Munawwara. And he reached Medina Munawwara also in Rabiul Awal. He first came to Quba, as you and I know. And in Quba, it was where he stayed for about 7 or 10 days. The historians have mentioned he stayed there for a few days. And that is where he was welcomed, my respected friends and brothers, by the people of Medina Munawwara. They came out of the town. Quba at that time was a little out of Medina. Today you go to Quba, it is basically like, you know, so together, you won't know when you're out of Quba and when you're into Medina and vice versa. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he stayed in Quba. And that is where, my friends, we find that another very important event of Rabiul Awal took place. And what was that? That was the first construction of the first masjid of Islam. The Masjid al-Quba is the first masjid that was built by the Muslims as a masjid in which our beloved Nabi, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself participated, and he was carrying the rocks and he helped build up that particular masjid. So every masjid that we see, actually, if you are to talk of the commemoration and celebration of any masjid, it was actually in the month of Rabiul Awal. I'm talking about that last week, alhamdulillah, we had a grand opening also in our neighboring town of a masjid, mashallah, in the month of Rabiul Awal. Allah Ta'ala give barakah to that masjid and protect it. And on a lighter note, we had also a small little inauguration of something in our little town. It was our mimbar in the town masjid, mashallah, the beautiful mimbar. If you go to town masjid, you see there's a new wooden mimbar there. Allah Ta'ala reward Brother Shabir Bhai Mangli for such a beautiful artistic structure he has put up there. He'll be remembered for many, many years, inshallah, for such a beautiful mimbar he has put up there. So in any case, that was our little inauguration here in the month of Rabiul Awal, by the way. Nevertheless, and while we are speaking about masjids, my brothers, we also today and from last week, we are lamenting another very sad event, and that was the High Court ruling that was passed in India on the matter of the Babri Masjid. Now, there's a whole history about the Babri Masjid, but in the 16th century, the Mughal emperor, whose name was Babur, he put up that particular masjid in an area called Ayodhya. And when he put up that masjid there, it stayed there for many years
until some mischief makers decided that this masjid has been built of all the masjids in the world and of all the places. This is the place where our deity was born. Deity, it means the deity Rama of the Hindus. This is their belief. We don't condemn them for that. It's between them and themselves. But this is where the whole problem came about. And from 1947 or from 1949, we find that there were some statues that were placed in that masjid, and there was an effort made to try and actually worship these deities in that place. And we find it carried on from that time onwards. In fact, in the 1800s already, there was this whole dispute going on. And then finally, that masjid was shut down by the government of that time. And it remained shut down until we know what happened in December the 6th, 1992, when the fundamentalist RSS related party to the present ruling party, the BJP, while fundamentalist terrorists went and broke that entire masjid and razed it to the ground. And since then, there was court case upon court case. And finally, last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but the ruling was passed that there, on this place here, there's going to be a Hindu temple, a grand Hindu temple going to be built, and the Muslims will be given another piece of land elsewhere. In one way, some people feel, okay, this dispute has come to an end, and now, because about 2,000 people got killed in the year 1992 when the riots broke out as a result of this masjid being broken down. So nevertheless, we still make dua that is the house of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is the protector of all his houses, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets khair and goodness come for every masjid of his. This is not the only masjid that has been broken. If you go to places like Palestine, my respected friends and brothers, we have been in so many masajid when we went there. Some have been turned into factories, some into nightclubs, really, some into restaurants, and all, everything else. And the clear signs in the architecture of the masjid still shows that this used to be a masjid. The inscriptions of the ayat of the Quran are still embedded there in the wall, and this people are carrying on. So that is why it is not only this masjid that has been desecrated and taken over. There are lots of other masajid, and it's happening as we speak now also. So we make dua that Allah Ta'ala bring us to us the lesson of the masajid, the importance of the masjid, and we make dua for it. But the first masjid that was built was also in the month of Rabiul Awwal. Then a few other events also took place. One more, and then we'll conclude, inshallah. It's the first khutbah of Jumu'ah. Every Friday is a khutbah of Jumu'ah here in the masjid. The first official khutbah of Jumu'ah Salah, and the Jumu'ah Salah as such, was also called out in Rabiul Awwal. When Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now left Quba after 7 or 10 days, and officially was now entering Medina Munawwara. So entering of Medina Munawwara is a different event on its own. Also happened in the month of Rabiul Awwal, as you know, and it happened there in the vicinity of what was known as the area of the Banu Najjar, where the little girls welcomed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the famous nizam of Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada, that the full moon has dawned over us from the valley of Thaniya, referring to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then as he was coming, he came to a place, and it was the time of Jummah Salah, and the first Jummah was performed there. The first khutbah, what a khutbah, subhanallah, was given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is known as a khutbah al-tawheed, only on the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, and the khutbah al-taqwa, only on the obedience and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was mentioned there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam just came from Makkah Mukarramah. He fled from there under circumstances of fear. When he comes to Medina, when he is free, he's not even cursing the enemies there. He's not saying they did like this and they did like that and we must do like that. No, he told the believers, you must fear Allah Ta'ala, get your own life. Life is to carry on. He did not curse those people. He did not condemn them. He carried on. So a very beautiful khutbah was given, my respected friends and brothers, also on the occasion of the of Rabiul Awwal. And if you go to Quba, there's a road they call Al-Jum'ah Road. And there's a masjid called Masjid Al-Jum'ah also there. It's now been renovated. There was no masjid that time. It was open field when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam put up when he made the first Jum'ah there. So we find that masjid is also there, Masjid Al-Jum'ah and Al-Jum'ah Road. These are things that we remind ourselves, and these are things that also we think about when the month of Rabiul Awwal come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love and the tawfiq and the ability to to be connected to everything which our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was connected, and make it a means of us coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.